Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo. It is back to school time in the United States, which for many is bittersweet. Bittersweet describes something that is both sad and happy. The bitter part is for saying goodbye to carefree, unscheduled summer days. The sweet part is saying hello to a new school year and school friends. That is what today's program is about, dealing with back-to-school stress. First, there are a few vocabulary words that may be new to some of you. The first is routine. A routine is a regular way of doing things. Another word is exciting. If something is exciting, it causes feelings of interest and is usually fun. A transition means to make a change from one state, place, or condition to another.
This exciting time is filled with smells of new books, paper, and pencils. Children might dress in a new set of clothes and wear new shoes. And of course, there are the first day of school pictures that parents share with family and friends. But leaving behind the carefree days of summer and starting school with routines, homework, and expenses can be stressful for everyone. Children, parents, and teachers. This is especially true for teenagers who, according to a recent study, are just as stressed as adults.
Families might also feel stress about spending extra money for a new school year. Parents often need to pay school fees or to buy new school clothes, sports equipment, musical instruments, and school supplies. When parents are stressed, children feel the tension. Back-to-school stress is different for different ages. Younger children may feel scared to leave their families. Making new friends and dealing with bullying can also cause stress for students. Older students may stress about their appearances, grades, and getting into college. With teenagers in the United States, stress is a serious and growing problem. A 2013 survey by the American Psychological Association found that teens in the U.S. are now as stressed as adults. The APA survey says teenagers are most stressed about school, getting into a good college or deciding what to do after high school, and financial concerns for their family. Danielle Lantieri is 14 years old. This year, she started a high school that is new to her. It is a private Catholic school that she attends on a scholarship. The demands of the scholarship keep her very busy and stressed.
What stresses me out most at this point in my life will have to be the amount of work that I get from my teachers and the expectation that I'm supposed to, that I have. With my scholarship for high school, I'm expected to be on a sport, participate in clubs, get an above 100 average in all my classes, and I feel that it's a little impossible. Very few people end up keeping a scholarship because it's just too hard to do everything.
However, parents, teachers, and children can all help to make the transition back to school easier. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. You are listening to the VOA Learning English program, As It Is.
After a short break, we will be back with two expert teachers who are also mothers. They have great suggestions for us on how to make the transition back to school easier.
We will also hear from Danielle, the busy high school student, on how she cuts down on her school stress. Don't go away.
Welcome back to As It Is. In the first part of the program, we heard about how stressed teenagers can be in the United States.
We also met a teenager, Danielle Lanteri, and heard about her busy school schedule. We will hear from her again. We also hear from two teachers about how they lessen back-to-school stress in the classroom and at home.
Lori Bambina has been a teacher for 22 years. She currently teaches first grade in Brooklyn, New York, at Public School 229. Her students are 5 and 6 years old. Routines and knowing what to expect, or predictability, help to reduce stress in children, says Ms. Bambina. So, she focuses on the class routine during the start of the new school year.
Well, for the students, I have my classroom set up with a very clear system. So I will introduce the system and then I will revisit the system, because at this young age, they enjoy structure and predictability. And that routine is very comforting and will not cause them stress if they know exactly where things are located and what type of behavior is expected of them. So that really reduces the stress and the anxiety, because they have their own comfort level now.
Whether you are in first grade or 10th grade, knowing the teachers and what they expect is a good way to reduce stress. At her new high school, Danielle did not know her teachers. She did not know the best way to build relationships with them. Also, the teachers did not know her learning style. All these unknowns caused Danielle a lot of stress.
It was the not knowing the teachers. They didn't know me, so they don't know how I work. That stressed me out. I didn't know what type of relationship I should have with my teacher. And to cut down the stress, I will email my teachers if I have a problem and try to, like, get to know them better.
Knowing what a teacher wants in the classroom is a good way to cut down on stress. But there are things you can do in the home, too. Marianne Idala began teaching in the New York school system in 1962. She retired 39 years later in 2001. She is an award-winning teacher and is also the mother of Lori Bambina, the teacher we heard from earlier. Ms. Idala advises parents to focus on the basics: get enough sleep, eat healthy foods, and turn off electronics before bedtime.
Well, the first thing they have to do is to get them on a schedule of sleep habits. And they should also make sure they have a good breakfast to keep their brains alert. And maybe before they go to sleep every night, they should start to read them a story or do something educational so they can start to reactivate their brains into using them.
The American Psychological Association makes the same suggestions on its website. They add that getting organized is also very important for parents, children, and teachers.
I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
Hello, and welcome to the VOA Learning English program, Words and Their Stories. I'm Anna Mateo, and today we are going to talk about the brain. We all know what a brain is. A doctor will tell you that the brain is the organ of the body in the head. It controls our body's functions, movements, sensations, emotions, and thoughts. But a brain can mean so much more. A brain can also simply be a smart person. If a person is called brainy, she is smart and intelligent. If a family has many children, but one of them is super smart, you could say she's the brains in the family. And if you are the brains behind something, you are responsible for developing or organizing something. For example, Bill Gates is the brains behind Microsoft. A brain trust is a group of experts who give advice. Word experts say the phrase brain trust became popular when Franklin D. Roosevelt first ran for president in 1932. Several professors gave him advice on social and political issues facing the U.S. These professors were called his brain trust. These ways we use the word brain all make sense. But other ways we use the word are not so easy to understand. For example, to tease is to make fun of someone. But a brain teaser is not one who makes fun of someone else's brain. A brain teaser is a riddle or puzzle that makes you think. Here is a fun brain teaser. What can go all around the world but still stays in one corner? The answer? A stamp. You can share that brain teaser with your friends. To understand the next brain expression, you first need to know the word drain. As a verb, to drain means to remove something by letting it flow away. So a brain drain may sound like a disease where the brain flows out of the ears. But brain drain is when a country's most educated people leave their countries to live in another. The brains are sort of draining out of the country. Next, we have a brain child. A brain child sounds like a really smart kid, but it isn't. A brain child is an idea that one has without any help from others. If you have a really great idea, it is your brainchild, no one else's. However, if many people are responsible for a great idea, you could say they brainstormed it. Here, brainstorm is not an act of weather. It is a process of thinking creatively about a complex topic. For example, business leaders may use brainstorming to create new products, and government leaders may brainstorm to solve problems. But if you can't find a solution to a problem, or if you can't even remember what the problem is, you may have to rack your brains. This expression means to think very hard about something. To pick someone's brain is quite different. For example, if you meet someone who knows a lot about a subject you like, you may want to pick his brain to learn more. But do not mix these expressions up. You cannot rack someone else's brain or pick your own. Now, if people are brainwashed, it does not mean their brains are nice and clean. To brainwash means to make someone accept new beliefs by using repeated pressure in a forceful or tricky way. Keep in mind that brainwash is never used in a positive way. And that's all for this week's Words and Their Stories. If you have Words and Their Stories on the brain, That means you cannot stop thinking about it. Don't worry, there are more shows on our website. I'm Anna Mateo.
Brain, a miraculous machine, the most supercharged computer the world has ever seen.
I'm Pat Bodner.
And I'm Bob Doty with People in America in VOA Special English. Today, we tell about Janis Joplin. She was one of the greatest white blues-influenced rock singers of her time. Her intense and emotional voice has become one of the most famous in American popular music.
Sitting down by my window, just looking out at the rain. By my window, just looking out at the rain. Some came along on the ground to hold a man, and it fell like a ball and chain.
That song is called Ball and Chain. It was performed by Janis Joplin and her first band, Big Brother and the Holding Company. Some experts say that this performance is among the greatest in rock history. It was recorded live on June 18, 1967, at the Monterey International Pop Festival. This was an important event in San Francisco, California. Many famous rock musicians of the 1960s gathered there for 3 days of performances. Before this concert, Janis Joplin and her band were only known on the West Coast of the United States. Once she performed at this festival, however, Janis Joplin became a star.
Janis Joplin did not start out in the world of rock music. She was born in Port Arthur, Texas, in 1943. Even as a child, Janis showed an interest in music and the arts. She sang in the local church music group and soon became very interested in blues music. For example, she was influenced by the blues music of Bessie Smith and the soul sound of Otis Redding. When she was 17 years old, Janis started performing in small towns around Texas. She would copy the blues sounds of the musicians she liked best. After some time singing in New York City and San Francisco, Janis returned to Texas to attend university. She also needed to recover from her use of illegal drugs and dependence on alcohol. This struggle with drugs and alcohol would continue throughout Joplin's life.
In 1966, Joplin learned that a group of rock musicians she knew in San Francisco was looking for a female singer. This band was called Big Brother and the Holding Company. Joplin once said, "All of a sudden, someone threw me in front of this rock and roll band, and I decided then and there that this was it." I never wanted to do anything else. Janis Joplin recorded 2 albums with Big Brother. Here is a famous song she made with the band during their 2 years together. It is called Peace of My Heart. This song is an excellent example of Joplin's explosive and emotional voice. Janis Joplin did not stay with this band for long. In 1968, she and the band's guitarist, Sam Andrew, formed a new group. Joplin wanted to play music that had more of a rhythm and blues sound.
The late 1960s were a complex period in America. Many political and cultural movements were going on at the same time. These included the fight for equal treatment for black people, the women's rights movement, and the movement protesting America's involvement in the war in Vietnam. In some ways, the rock bands of this period expressed the conflicts many young people were feeling. Janis Joplin represented the culture of some young people during this period. She dressed in very unusual clothing. She let her long, wavy hair fly about as she sang. She drank alcohol and used illegal drugs. Once she became famous, she even drove around San Francisco in a special sports car. This was not your average car. It was painted many colors, with images of Joplin and her band. To many people, Janis Joplin's voice and actions represented freedom and social rebellion.
Janis Joplin and her new band performed around the United States. They received both good and bad comments from critics in America. However, when they performed in Europe, they were a big success. In 1969, they released an album called I Got Them Old Cosmic Blues Again, Mama. Here is a song from that album. It is called Cosmic Blues, a title that became the name of the band.
Time keeps moving on. Friends, they turn away. Just one night. Oh yeah.
Janis Joplin soon formed yet another band called Full Tilt Boogie. Many people say this was the best band she ever played with. The Full Tilt Boogie Band first played together in May of 1970. A few months later, they started to record the album Pearl. It would become Janis Joplin's most successful album. One song on that album is called Mercedes-Benz. Here, Janis Joplin sings a cappella, without any musical instruments. The words of the song are funny, but they also comment about the desire for costly things.
Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing $4 is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me.
Janis Joplin did not live to see this album completed and released. In October 1970, Joplin died of an accidental heroin drug overdose in Los Angeles, California. She was 27 years old. Janis Joplin once said this about her singing: "When I am there, I am not here. I can't talk about my singing. I'm inside it. How can you describe something you are inside of?" This statement expresses how serious Janis Joplin was about her music. She was an intense singer who lived during an intense time in American history. While she did not have a long career, Joplin became one of the most important voices of her time. We close with Janis Joplin's most popular song. It was written for her by a friend, the famous singer and songwriter Kris Kristofferson. Here is Me and Bobby McGee.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train. And this feeling is faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained. It rode us all the way into New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana, and I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues, yeah. Windshield wipers slapping time eyes, holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Daddy knew. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, don't mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, and feeling good was easy, Lord. Bobby sang the blues. You know, good enough for me, mm-hmm. Good enough for me and my Bobby McGee.
This program was written and produced by Dana DeMarge. I'm Bob Doty.
And I'm Pat Bodner. Join us again next week for People in America in VOA Special English.
All kinds of weather and through everything that we've done.